easy. Yeah.
It makes me wanna.
KCI.
It makes me wanna.
KCI.
Yeah. It makes me wanna.
KCI.
It makes me wanna.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to KUCI.org.
All right, there you go. That is the disclaimer. Welcome to the 313 show. This is a show where we have a lot of fun because we talk about things that might on the surface level seem simple, but they are actually complex, and it is super complex to get them simple. If that makes something more complex the way I said it, that's fine, because we are here to help clarify the way that we use our words, the words we choose to use and the words we choose not to use. Now, I am curious to see if my guest is on the line. Mr. Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah, I am. I'm here. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, cool. We've been having a little phone drama this morning, so I see the phone lines lighting up, and I just kind of did a blind monkey finger tap to try to get you on. So how are you today, sir?
We have lots of snow and ice and stuff like that. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Mr. Peter, who connected us in the world out there, which is the thing called Twitter. And I always love getting referrals of people to get on the show. And the word on the street is that we're going to have fun running through the 313 today. And I'm not sure if you got it. Did the pigeon deliver that message?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. I'm really intrigued by your methodology.
Awesome, awesome. So before we really dive into it, I like to always take a step back and get to know you a little bit more. And I really don't know.
Sure.
I really don't know you, and that's actually pretty cool. And I think that stories are a great way to get to know people, way better than if I were going to read your bio or read your accolades or read whatever somebody would the standard program to send over and read over the air. So if you had to pull a story from your past?
Well, the story would be that I spent a lot of years as a technology writer. I was a newspaper reporter, one of those ink-stained scribes that sort of hid behind the computer.
Okay.
And I never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. Like, I was a reporter. That's what I was going to be until I got a call from a friend asking me to work for a startup. And to give you an analogy, it was like I was working at the Globe and Mail, which is kind of like working for the New York Yankees. You know, it's the top of the heap. And he asked me to quit my job and join the startup. And it wasn't really something I had ever planned. I never thought about working for a startup. I covered startups. And I kind of fell into entrepreneurship. And it's been an interesting journey. And then eventually I got laid off by a startup and started my own business. So it's been a crazy journey. And I think that's the thing about entrepreneurship, sometimes finds you as opposed to you finding it.
Interesting. And I like the just even hearing the word startup there, right? Like, you're afraid of the startup, and then you started with a startup, and then the startup stopped you in the tracks, but then you started again.
it's crazy.
It makes me think of when you're done watching a YouTube video or something else, it gives you that replay button where you get to sort of watch it again, you get a second take at it. So really, not knowing you, the thing that sort of pops out of my mind with that one little story is that you have no problem sort of hitting the reset button and trying again. That didn't work. Let's try it again. Is that somewhat part of your personality?
I didn't think it was, because I thought that I was going to be a journalist and I'd be an editor, and that would be my sort of linear path from a career perspective. And then, you know, what I discovered, and I think a lot of people discover, is that, you know, we have four or five or six different jobs in our careers. Like, that's the amazing thing. And you don't know where they're going to lead, and you don't know where the opportunities are going to come from. And I think that makes things terrifying and exciting at the same time.
Interesting. What kind of sports guy are you? Do you play certain sports, or historically did you?
Well, I'm Canadian, so I play ice hockey. And I also play tennis. And I think, you know, it's interesting you ask that, because, you know, one of the things that entrepreneurs, the biggest mistake they make is they get obsessed with their work. And we lose perspective in terms of the things that make us healthy entrepreneurs. And I think sports is one of them. Sort of losing yourself in a sport where you really get off the grid, because you're not thinking about your job or your email. You're thinking about what's happening right in front of you right then and there.
Interesting. And so this idea of analogizing. I just made that up. Analogizing, yes, it's a new word, analogizing. Taking the sort of the sports combined with the startup and this idea of when you're too focused, I think that's called a Chinese wall, where you're so focused on what's going on in front of you that you just don't see outside of that, and you see that as something that will affect the game, per se, of entrepreneurs. Is that correct?
Exactly. I think, you know, one of the things I talk about with entrepreneurs is the idea of perspective. So when I...
All right. How's that for some perspective? The perspective... I just had to drop him on the phone call. So this is actually an interesting game for a radio show host, is to have a caller who is dropping off at any mid-sentence. It makes me stay on my toes. It makes me think, as this sporting analogy goes, about kind of being a referee and sort of calling a timeout. So whenever he drops off the line, it's an opportunity for me to do a timeout and then kind of reflect on what he's saying until he calls again, and then I'll patch him through. So this idea of entrepreneurs, their biggest mistake being losing focus in what they're doing, it's kind of funny, because as an entrepreneur, you have to get lost in what you're doing to actually find success. So it sounds like it's a double-edged sword in that respect. And, all right, Mark, you there?
I'm back, sorry.
No, that's
sorry
cool, that's that. Cool.
I just
invented the official timeout. So when it goes doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, it's a timeout. I'm the referee, and I'll give my commentary on what you said until you call back, and then I'll patch you in, and we'll just keep going with it. How's that?
Okay. That's it. Great. I think I'm good now. Sorry about that.
No, that's cool. So you were talking about, we discussed how you've got to go all in. You were saying the problem is when you're too focused and you don't see outside. But that kind of is the challenge with entrepreneurship. You have to be all in. You have to kind of dive in deep. So that seems like an inherent challenge, right? How do you deal with that?
Yeah.
You have to be focused, but if you're too focused, you're going to lose the game.
Yeah, I think that's it, exactly. So, you know, one of the things about entrepreneurship is that you're all in. Like, it's really just sort of a game where you can't think of anything else, and that, because if you get distracted, then you're not going to be at the top of your game. And so, that's kind of the reality. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they get too focused, and they get too obsessed with what they're doing, and they have no perspective, right? They just don't see the world around them. And when I do marketing for entrepreneurs and I do messaging, one of the biggest things that I provide to them is perspective, is basically saying to them, you got to think differently, right? You got to look at the world from a different viewpoint, and they can't do it by themselves, right? And I think that's the biggest danger for a lot of entrepreneurs.
All right, cool. So this is a good transition, because you're starting to let us know what you do. And I have this kind of harsh viewpoint on the world, and let me get your perspective on it. I argue that nobody cares what you do. And I'll admit, nobody cares what I do, and in fact, nobody cares what Peter does out there as well. This concept is based on the fact that I believe people are more concerned that they, quote-unquote, care more about the problem that you actually solve as opposed to what you do. I want to know your thoughts on that.
I think you're bang on. I think, you know, people are very selfish in terms of what their expectations are, and it's the classic what's in it for me. Like, they don't care about how your technology works. What they care about is the results that they get from doing business with you. And I often say, somewhat tongue in cheek, when I'm dealing with B2B technology companies, is your technology is irrelevant. And they kind of look at me kind of strange, and I say, because at the end of the day, you know, what they want is they want results, and they want to achieve something, whether it's they get healthier or they get more profitable or they drive more sales. And if you can do that, then you're on the right track. And then they'll be interested in how you actually do it. But I think you're absolutely right, is that there's just there really is little interest in how you get things done. They just want you to do stuff.
Okay, I like that you're on the same page with that, selfishly, because that's great, talking about selfishness. But one thing that you stuck out that you said is that people are more interested in results. And so this is interesting, because I always talk about how people don't care what you do, they care about the problem that you solve. But if you take that one step further, the problem being solved essentially is results, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all about deliverables. You know, we live in a world in which people want you to perform. So whether you're a consultant or a software company or any kind of entrepreneur, it's all about performance and it's all about making people successful and helping them realize their goals or solve their problems. And to them, that's why they pay you.
Yeah.
And the tech, how you do it. I mean, it's important to have a methodology or a technology in terms of how you make that happen, because that allows you to differentiate and allows you to provide them with some kind of structure that they can get their head around. But at the end of the day, regardless of your methodology, if you don't perform, then it doesn't really matter to them. So it really is about them and what their needs are.
Yeah, and so this is why I am so fascinated with the reality that when people are communicating what they do, they communicate what they do. And again, you might be thinking, well, yeah, Ryan, but if we look at this premise, the basic premise that people don't actually care what you do, they're more concerned with the problem that you're solving for them, the results and the deliverables, then why historically are we so focused, or why do we default into basically telling people what we do when we know that they don't really care, right? Like that's kind of the crux of how the 313 can help to sort of shed some light on that. And I'm excited to play the little game here. We'll call it the 313 Challenge. Are you ready for the big show?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's do it.
I don't know. I need to get some actual sound effects here and turn this into an actual game show. So here we go.
Yeah.
The 313 method. Maybe this is like the sponsor, like Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. The 313 method helps take your messaging down to three sentences, one sentence, and three words, because really, no one cares what you do. I might have to work on that from a sponsorship level
like
or something. Okay. So the first question. And if you do get it technically wrong, I'm going to go, burnt. It'll be fun. Like, this is a fun exercise, and, you know, you can still win the game with getting a couple, burnt. So,
okay, sounds good.
And I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a cheat. When I ask this question, I'm going to tell you exactly what the answer should look like, and then see if you can do it. Can you state the problem that you solve without telling me what you do in one sentence? Let me repeat that. Can you tell me the problem that you solve without telling me what you do, and can you do it in one sentence? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, and go.
The answer is I help B2B technology companies attract more high-quality leads and sales.
you got burnt after the second word. What do you remember?
Oh,
what you said?
No. I help.
Uh-huh. And that gets you a burnt, because when you say,
no,
I help, that's what you do, right? But remember,
right,
I don't care what you do. I'm telling you, it's such an instinctual reaction. So let's try it again, but you do not try. I don't mean to be like, don't do this, but try to eliminate any reference of what you do. So don't say I help or don't say I do. Focus more on the problem that's actually being solved. Try it again.
Problem being solved. Businesses need more leads and sales.
Cool. Okay. So if in looking at that, I have no idea what you do, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I know in Canada, you guys have paper like we do here. Have you ever had a paper cut?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Absolute? Okay. What happens
absolutely
when you get a paper cut? Walk me through the drama.
What happens? It hurts.
Yeah. And then what?
You know, and it's painful, and then you figure out like how to fix it because you want to stop the pain.
Yeah. Do you typically cut yourself enough to where you need a Band-Aid, or you just like pinch it with a finger, or what do you do?
I just sort of lick it, and then I'm good to go.
Okay, good. So you get the paper cut, and you give it a little lick, and you're good to go. Now, what if it was a very cold day, and the piece of paper happened to be frozen, and maybe you were outside, so your body was already pretty feeble and crispy, and the same paper cut actually turned into where your finger has been chopped off. Chop, like your finger is squiggling around like a little Adam's Family hand, like on the ground, blood trailing everywhere. You start screaming. Walk me through what happens.
After I start screaming, then I would grab my finger and run as quickly to as I could to my car, or so I could get to a hospital and get it fixed.
Right. Somebody's going to call 911. I'd say put it on ice normally, but if you're in Canada, it's probably already cold. You don't need to do that, right?
Yeah, right now that's the case. Yeah.
So hypothetically, looking at the difference between a paper cut and a finger being chopped off, what I argue the big difference is, and there's obviously some differences, but what I argue the biggest difference is the assumed action that needs to happen afterwards. So the paper cut, you're like, I'm not really sure what, I'll just pinch it or I'll lick it, like, meh, right? But with a finger being cut off, you're like, instantly I know, I've got to pick up that finger, I've got to call 911, or I've got to get in the car, I've got to do these certain steps, right? So do you see the difference from an action associated with after the event, from a finger paper cut to a finger chop? So
what
I find is that when people describe the problems that they solve, especially as they're just kind of like flexing their problem statement muscles, is that they typically explain the problem like it's a paper cut. And so when you say businesses don't get enough sales and, or, you know, don't have enough leads kind of deal, to me, the words that you've chosen to use kind of is like, okay, like, I know that. That's part of doing business. What do you want me to do about this kind of thing, right?
Right.
So if we agree that people only care about the problem that you solve, but you tell them a problem that doesn't have like this illicit reaction that they think there something needs to be done with it, then they're still not going to be interested, right? So the challenge is, if you only have one sentence, how can you make that one problem sentence actually feel like a finger's been cut off? Like, where is the blood? What is the knife and what is the result? So yes, you got the question correct as far as stating it in one sentence without telling us what you do. How could we make this bloodier? How could you describe the problem in a way that I'm like, oh man, that's, yeah, we got to do something about that. You want to take another crack at it?
Sure. I guess, you know, if you're thinking, if you want to really sort of ratchet it up a bit, it's businesses staying alive to see another day.
So the full sentence is that businesses don't have great lead systems or marketing mechanisms, and at its extreme, they won't live to see another day?
I think if you wanted, yeah, I think that's it. I mean, if you wanted to be extreme at what I do.
Yeah, okay, I like it.
Many of my companies are early stage and they're scrambling to survive, you know, let alone thrive.
Yeah, okay, so I'm digging this because the problem is that when companies don't have a solid lead flow or a correct marketing path, like what is it within there if we were to get specific?
They just don't generate enough leads because they don't have the right systems in place. They don't have the right marketing programs in place. So as a result, you know, the business starts to suffocate because they just can't, there's not enough sort of gas in the machine.
Ooh, I like that. The word suffocate was really cool. I like that. That literally made me think of like, ugh. So the problem is when companies don't have a proper lead process, it will suffocate them to the point of them literally seeing their last day alive as a company, as a founder, or something like that, right?
Yeah, so that's right. That's it.
So for me, I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, I'm actually, I have no idea what you do, but I'm actually kind of interested because I have felt, as a business owner, suffocated. As a business owner, I now it's making me question, do I really have a lead system? Do I have a structure? Because it's not just leads. Leads is like, man, everybody knows you got to get leads. Excuse me, but this sort of hyperbole and this idea of like, it's okay to go a little bit extreme to sort of help my brain understand a little bit more. So if we were to go with this 313 concept, it stands for your business in three sentences, one sentence, and three words. Just taking a step back real quick. So we're working on the first part, which is three sentences, right? If you could package what you're doing in three sentences, there's value to that, right? So the first sentence is simply the problem that you solve without saying what you do, making it kind of bloody. So the fun part of this in real life, and I'm assuming Canadians network, right? You actually go out there and meet people in person?
When it's not too cold outside,
we okay.
Do, yeah.
Okay, cool. So if you're out there and you're talking with somebody, and if they say the proverbial question, hey, Mark, what do you do? the challenge here, this exercise that you can actually play with, is instead of telling them what you do, because we already talked about, they don't really care. Probably they're just asking you so that you answer, so that they can hope that you ask them the same question so that they can answer what they do, but secretly you don't care because, right, it's like this classic networking conundrum. So the idea is if somebody asks you what you do, you can kind of break the frame of what they expect and say, it's not really what I do that's important. It's the problem that I solve. That's what's important. And right. Then all of a sudden they're going to be like, huh? Okay, so what problem do you solve? And now they've asked you the more important question. And you can say, well, for companies that don't have lead structures and systems in place, they are going to suffocate until they die. Right?
Right.
And that person's going to be like, huh, in their brain instantly, you've using these words, the suffocate, it forms in their brain, like you've put your idea in their brain, but they don't know what you do. And so they're going to go, huh. And you can say, is that a problem? Do you think that that's a problem? And then they'll say yes. And then you bring it localized and you go, is that a problem that you're experiencing in your own business? And if they say yes, then you can say, is that something that you're curious about solving? Are you looking to solve it? And they say yes. And you go, okay, are you looking to solve that anytime soon? And they say yes. And you smile and you say, great, I can help you out.
Right.
And what's happened here, they don't even know what you do. So you've already convinced them that you can help them solve the problem. And then their next question is going to be like, okay, so tell me what you do. Well, tell me what you're going to do to help me, right? It's this weird gateway into getting people to actually care just right out the gates if you just focus on the problem. But if you say, I help people, they're like, I don't want somebody who's going to help me, right?
Right. Right. It's a subtle difference when you think about it, but I can see how it would resonate in a lot bigger way.
Yeah. And then let's say the next radio show, just for fun, next time you're on or you're on a podcast and they're going to be like, hey, so Mark, what do you do? And you're like, you know what, Johnny, it may sound funny, but it's not what I do that's important. The problem that I solve is what is really at the heart. And then they're going to be like, whoa. And you can use this. I use this when I talk with Uber drivers. I use this when I talk with new people I meet. And it just gets a way of sparking the conversation in a way that people become interested because all of a sudden what's in it for them becomes paramount in the conversation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So
that sounds good so far.
Okay, good. All right. So we got our first sentence down. And I love the suffocate word, by the way. Like that for me is what creates that blood, right? So the second question, this one hopefully is very straightforward. Now, what is your solution? And can you tell me in one sentence? But that's the parameter. So it's pretty basic. So this is the typical question somebody's going to ask you. But the challenge might be, how do you sum it up into just one sentence? So, Mark, what is your solution to that problem?
I develop marketing that is underpinned by the power of storytelling.
Okay, now my question is, that was great. No buzzers, right? You're like, okay,
good. That's great.
So the question is, now the follow-up, does that solution solve the problem as you stated it?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. It sounds pretty tame when I think about it.
And here is where there's a challenge in messaging, because if you can correctly set up the problem, but then you sort of default to a very generalized answer, then people might not see the connection. What you just said there was a bit more general in context, right? You talked about marketing systems. Side question. And again, this is, I love getting more information on Canada. Do people skydive in Canada?
Yep. We do some of that.
Cool.
Not me, but some of us do that.
Okay, so you never skydove in, if that's correct.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
If you were going to skydive tomorrow, like I'm going to fly out there, you, me, and Peter, we're going to go jump out of a plane, you have two choices. You can either have a circular, like a round parachute, or you can have a rectangular parachute. You have 3 seconds to decide. What does your gut tell you you're going to do?
Circular.
Okay, great. Now, the challenge with circular parachutes is that you don't really have control, right? You might end up in a lake. Well, I guess a lake's frozen, so that's not a big deal. You might end up on a tree. You might end up on the wire. Like a circular parachute, for the most part, you don't have maneuverability, right? In a general sense.
Think about it. No.
Okay. Yeah. Like a paratrooper, right? You jump out. It's like wherever we land, that's where we're going to land. But a rectangular parachute, I mean, you see these guys dressed up as Elvis with smoke coming out of their boots, and they do little flips and stuff, and they land on the 50-yard line, like on the spot, right?
Yeah.
So the way that I like to think of the words that are coming out of our mouth, like poof, 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 each word is a little person who's a stormtrooper kind of style that has a parachute, and when they jump out of your mouth, they have either a circular or a rectangular parachute. And the challenge is that if you have a word that is a general word, like poof, poof, marketing plan, poof, there are two people that jump out of the plane, jump out of your mouth, and they have circular parachutes. And because they're general in nature, you have really no idea what marketing plan means to somebody that you're talking with. It might get caught in a tree in their cerebral cortex forest or something. But when you're able to use specificity, you're essentially cutting that parachute to where you have maneuverability. And when the person jumps out of your mouth in the form of a word with a rectangular parachute, you can guide it into somebody's brain in particular. So when describing what you do, I challenge people to use specificity. And the challenge that I feel people have is, well, it's I don't have enough time to get super specific. But the challenge here is solved by the difference between the question, what do you do, versus how do you do it? And I feel like I'm rambling here, and it's okay. What is the difference between what and how? If I were to say, what do you do versus how do you do it?
So what I do is create marketing strategies and tactical execution. That's what I do, right?
Yep.
How I do it is that I get a full understanding of a company's customers so that I can we can create marketing that makes an impact and attracts the spotlight so people can outflank the competition.
Okay, so if we looked at your two answers, what you do versus how you do it, which one is inherently longer?
The second one.
Yeah, it's very hard to describe how you do what you do in just one sentence. Granted,
right.
That's almost impossible because there's so many layers to what you do. But if you just answer what you do in a high-level, specific way that is enough to guide the words in a rectangular parachute into somebody's brain, if they're interested at all and you tell them what you do, what do you think the next question is going to be if you stop talking?
How you do that?
Yeah. And then the magic is like, well, I'm so glad that you asked. And then even before you dig into it, you can say, well, tell me what you know about marketing. Tell me about your experience with marketing and leads and funnels. What do you do? Now, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, wait, I get to tell you about my experience. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I've done this and this and this and this. And you're like, that is all amazing stuff. But how I do what I do is a slightly different. And here's some of the magic sauces. So you're right. You're doing all the right stuff. But here's what you're missing. And so this idea is that when people ask you what you do, typically people will answer how they do what they do. And that's why they can't fit it into a sentence. That's why they just babble on and on and on and on, because they're trying to explain how they do it. But if you just tell people what you do by basically putting yourself into a box using specificity, you set them up for them to want to know more. And it's that's kind of a fun, magical conversation design.
Right. It's interesting. It's interesting to get for a marketer to get marketing advice. Cause going back to your original point about perspective, right? Because you're so focused on helping other people, you don't focus on your own story.
Yeah, there are many cobblers whose sons have not had shoes, right?
Yes, that's a great analogy.
Okay, so the goal here is to basically do a high level what you do, in a rectangular parachute, so that it very clearly solves the problem that you identified, right? So let's try it again. And I'm here to help you. You're not in the hot seat anymore. But when you say a marketing system and structure, that still is pretty generic. So is it a face-to-face? Is there a certain method that you use? Is it a deep dive? Do you do you put a neck brace on them so that nobody can choke them? Like, how would you describe what you do in a very top-level way that specifically solves the problem of choking to death by not having leads?
So I make companies focus on their customers. That's That's what I do. So
okay.
That's sort of the essence.
Because cool. Real quick. I just want to. Real quick.
I help companies focus on their needs of their customers.
Okay. And what's interesting is that was not in the solution before.
Hmm.
Like I'm just listening. You were talking about marketing and systems and stuff through storytelling, but that word customers, like that is what you do, right? I create marketing systems that focus on the customers specifically through storytelling ninja-ness or storytelling magic or storytelling structuring or something like that, right?
Right.
So in my mind, I think the problem is that you don't have a marketing leads or systems. The solution is, oh my gosh, it's hiding in plain sight. I've got to focus on my customers in a way to tell stories better. Got it.
Right.
And then, you know, then the conversation is, well, how good of a storyteller are you? Like, tell me about the story that you're telling to create these. Oh, you don't have stories involved. You didn't. Oh, you're just doing pay-per-click advertising. I get it. No wonder you're suffocating. Right.
Right.
So I was trying to interrupt you as you just said customers, because it was like bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Like up until now, I didn't really get it. Now I get it, because it's not just storytelling. It's just a big circular parachute. Marketing systems is just a big circular parachute. But you cut those fabrics into the rectangular, and then it becomes like I'm making the connections in my own brain without you telling me. And that, from a listener, That's powerful, because I feel smart because I'm coming up with myself instead of being told.
Yeah, this is really, I mean, it's really interesting to hear this, because it's so obvious, right? When you say it back to me, as opposed to, you know, what I say on a regular basis. And I think that's the value of somebody sort of translating in another way how you do what you do.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? What I think is crazy is that literally all we're talking about is the problem that you solve and your solution. Like, that's all we've talked about so far. And we're 34 minutes into the show. And it's like, I think we forget about how important these super, super basic principles are. Because we're like, yeah, I know I solved a problem. Yep, I got a solution. But it's like, wait a minute. How can we really sharpen that axe so that we're more effectively hacking our words together, essentially?
Yeah, it's so important these days, because people don't pay attention for that long at all, right? And we're multitasking, and so if you don't deliver something powerful, I can definitely see how they just sort of lose their interest right away.
Totally. Okay, so right now, to recap, and for those of you listening, we are live on 88.9 FM in Irvine here on KUCI. If you have not found us on Twitter, find us at KUCI FM, Instagram KUCI FM, Tumblr, Facebook, all that good stuff. And you can follow myself at Ryan Folland, and Mark, give us your Twitter handle.
It's Mark Evans.
Ha, so easy. I love it when people snag their own names on their social handles. And if you're just joining us, we've been working through the 313 with Mark. The problem that he solves is that if you don't have a specific lead system set up, your business will suffocate until it dies. The solution, from what I understand now, is that with a focus on storytelling that touches your customers, you can create a lead system that is a way to market to their hearts or something like that. Is that close?
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah.
Okay. So now my big question is, who is your market? And this is, again, one of those big pinnacle, like, yeah, I know my market, and we know our market. But the challenge here is, can you describe your market in one sentence without using the A word or the E word? Now, the FCC regulates what we do here on the air, so we can't swear. And I'm gonna let you know that the A word is A-N-Y-O-N-E, and the E word is E-V-E-R-Y-O-N-E. Those are swear words as far as I'm concerned. Okay?
Okay. I'm feeling pretty good about this, though, but I'll wait for the beep just in case.
Okay. And ding! So go for it.
The B2B technology is looking to scale.
Okay. Here's the question. What B2B company does not want to scale?
All of them.
Okay. So you literally, without saying everyone or anyone, said every B2B business.
Right.
And here's the thing, like, sure, like, granted, it is reality that those B2B businesses that want to scale have the problem and could use your solution. But I argue in a polite way that if you are for all businesses, you are for no businesses. And we know the range of B2B could be from small mom and pop to mid-range to scale up to just behemoth. And so the idea is, like, I'm curious the specific companies within that. Like, are they only in Canada? Do they focus on a certain industry? Is it stuff that is aligned with things that you're passionate about? Is it industries that have customers that tend to have a more of an affinity towards storytelling, that kind of stuff? So, like, how could you put some filters on that to sort of chop it up into your target market, the people that you love to work with, that you prefer to work with, granted that you would just turn down all the other business because you're so focused and you're so busy with the people that run certain types of B2B companies? What would that look like?
So it's B2B technology companies that have marketing that's not performing.
Ooh, see, now we're getting closer. Okay, what about locale? And what about size?
So it'd be small B2B technology companies in Canada.
Okay.
That have marketing that isn't working.
Okay, so we're like, I like that so much more, because I literally am now thinking, do I know anyone in Canada who has a B2B company that I could help hook you up with? And I know that
right. It's
not necessarily for me, because I'm not in Canada and I'm not a B2B company. So it's like, you've really helped me to help you. If I met you and you're like, yeah, for all B2B companies that want to scale, secretly after I left the conversation, I'd be like, there's no way I'm going to introduce that to somebody because he sounds like a total generalist. Like, I want to call my friend in Canada and be like, oh my gosh, you got to connect with Mark, because I know you're B2B. I know you're having a hard time with leads, and that is the exact problem that he solves. It helps me as a listener.
Yeah, it's very illuminating, because all of a sudden it's like what I do and who I do it for, and that's what I tell my clients all the time.
I hear you. And
you are telling me.
And I'm not trying to be preachy here at all, bro. I'm just like, this is the same process, and it's fun to see some of the light bulbs go off, because, like, just like you lose your keys and they're right in front of you, the answers to the 313 are hiding in plain sight. It just takes a little bit of teasing to get them out.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love the process. It's amazing what you can do in such a short period of time.
I know. Okay, so it also, the first three sentences, congratulations. You now have your business in three sentences. Like, literally, if you only had three sentences, you could say the problem that you solve, the solution, and the market. And that will stitch together what will form in someone's mind as your complete solution. And I like to think of it as a checks and balances, right? So follow me on this and say either yes or no. Does your solution solve the problem that you stated? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do the people who you described as your market have the problem that you solve?
Yes.
Does your solution work for the people that you identify who have the problem that you have admitted that they have?
Yes.
So then you're all checked out. But what's funny is that if you don't really try to check and balance that, you might be describing. Now, what you describe is maybe different than reality, because you're just at the moment, you're describing what it is. So it's a way to basically say that these people have this problem and this solution will actually help these people. Like, it's, you can just go round and round and about, and it's like it all sort of clicks in together, which is fun as a checkpoint after you complete those three sentences, right?
Yeah. Ooh,
okay,
you
cool.
Talk the talk and walk the walk.
Yeah, so there you go. So you've got your three sentences down. Now, are you curious how to get that down to one sentence?
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you any good at math?
Pretty good. I mean, I'm a writer, not a mathematician,
okay.
But I'll give it my best shot.
So I'm gonna ask a couple qualifying questions, and if I think you're qualified, I'll ask you. Otherwise, I'll just give you the answer, okay? Do you remember factorials in mathematics, the one with the exclamation point?
A little bit.
So factorials are ways to statistically find combinations of things. So if you have three items, then if it was three factorial, that's an equation to say how many different ways could we combine those three elements. And it essentially would be 3 times 2 times 1. If it's 7 factorial, it's going to be 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Okay? So we have three elements: the problem, the solution, and the market. If we use mathematics, okay, three items, how many ways can we combine them into one? And the equation would be 3 factorial. So it's 3 times 2 times 1. And the answer is?
6.
Yes! And what's funny is that I thought it was 9 for about a year into my 313-ness. And then somebody came up to me, they're like, you know what? Your math is wrong. I'm like, okay. So mathematics show that we can have three things and combine them in 6 different ways. That is exactly how you turn 3 sentences into 1 sentence. But the magic part is that it's not just 1 sentence. It's 6 individual sentence options. So it looks like this. Option number 1 would be, the problem is this, and I solve it by doing this for these people. Another option, I solve this problem for these people, and here's how I do it. Third option, these people have this problem, and this is how I solve it. And then there's 3 other options, right? And if you truly lock in that one pain point, right? No leads means suffocating. And then you have your solution. I use storytelling to tap into customers' emotions or whatever. And then your market, you know, for businesses in Canada whose leads are not leading to success, you can rearrange those 6 different ways, which is nuts at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And I love the variations and the way you can just play with different messaging.
So let's just play with one, and I'll help you through it. So you have the problem, the solution, and the market. Literally, you have 6 different versions of that. Which one would you like us to structure real quick?
Let's start with the problem, solution, market.
Okay, so it's going to be the problem is blank, and I solve it by doing this for these people. So try that out.
Okay, so it would be without a steady flow of leads and sales, your business is going to suffocate, comma. So I create story-driven marketing that resonates with customers and helps you capture the spotlight.
Okay, we forgot the market, and you could have cut a little bit of that. I create marketing that taps in with storytelling to customers, and then you could have just gone for small to medium-sized B2B tech companies in Canada.
Right.
Okay, so you didn't get a burnt on that because you're just exploring it, but if you wrote down these three things and you combine them, you could literally build 6 different versions of your business in just one sentence.
Right, yeah.
And the caveat I want to throw out there is that this is, you know, I work with executives and I love working with executives. They are usually very sharp at explaining what they do. Even sharp in the sense that just even teasing it out, you're like, you get it. But the challenge is, you know, your brand is a summation of all of how your employees are describing what you do. And so I work with executives not only for their own messaging, but more so to give the power of messaging to their employees so that there is a singular message, so that people understand where they fit in with the brand promise, what problem is it they solve within the company, and what the company actually solves. So this is a great exercise for you as a founder, but as a leader who has people who are reporting to you that are the face of your company, empowering them with this same type of sort of, you know, in-the-box messaging that is very loose. Like, if you notice, each time we do the sentence, it's just a little bit different. It kind of flows. It's not like a recording that we have to say each word. And as you continue to do it, it sort of refines and you find new words and it has a flow to it, right?
Right, got it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, as you can tell, I'm like, this is my coffee for the morning. I'm just all pumped up on this. Okay, so my favorite part here is getting the one sentence down to 3 words. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I want to preface, this is not a tagline. And the reason for that is because a tagline is basically telling people what you do, right? And the idea here is to tap into a little bit more. So I'm going to do an exercise where I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and then basically what I need you to do is give me the first answer that comes to mind, okay?
Okay,
think of a famous person that you're like.
famous person that I'm like. Matt Damon.
Okay. And think of a cartoon character that you're like.
Bugs Bunny.
Okay. And if you were a car, what type of car would you be?
Subaru.
Okay. And if you were a fictional character in a movie, who would you be?
I'd be Matt Dillon.
Okay. And then last one of these, if you were a hotel, what type of hotel would you be?
Marriott.
Okay. Now, so congratulations on that. And here's another series, and you'll see this all come together. Now, what can you describe, like, what you do in one word? If you had to put it all into one word, like the category or what it is that you do.
In one word?
Yeah. Top
level. Storytelling.
Okay. I like it. Now, what is the one thing that you do best? Maybe it's the same thing?
The one thing I do best is capture. One thing I do best. That's an interesting question. It's
for all of you out there listening, ask yourself these questions too. Okay, Mark is not the only one in the hot seat. Like if you like, this is it's not saying you're not being braggy about it. It's just a what are you best at? And we can pass it. If you want to pass, you can pass. No big deal.
No, I think the one thing I do best is I identify a company's best stories.
Okay. And then let's see, what is the business that you are in?
Marketing that.
No, that's fine. Marketing. We're looking for one word. Is this
marketing.
Cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, yeah.
And then so your specific expertise, is that different than storytelling or identifying stories?
No, it's storytelling. Yeah,
okay.
My specific expertise.
And then this may be redundant, but your best talent, is that also storytelling or?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be it.
And
well,
if you had to name your industry, what would your industry be?
Other than marketing?
Yeah. So that's a business. What's overall?
Technology.
Technology?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I did was sort of tease out things that don't necessarily have to do anything with your business, right? They're just about you and sort of the type of business that you're in. So the three words isn't really three words. It's two words combined in a way that creates a metaphor or analogy. You're literally saying when you take this and you match them together in your brain, your brain's going to try to figure it out. So based on your answers, here are some potential options, okay? And I want to know if any of these resonate with you.
Okay.
And this would be me speaking as though I'm you, right? I am the Matt Damon of storytelling. Does that make sense? Do you like it?
Okay, yeah.
Maybe. We have a bunch here, okay?
So pretty good, yeah.
It's
I like Matt Damon.
Okay. I'm the Bugs Bunny of identifying best stories.
I don't know whether that'd be true, but it sounds colorful.
Okay. I'm the Subaru of storytelling.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty good,
closer.
Right? Now, now here's the thing.
Solid,
you don't want this to be 100% accurate spot on, because that you might as well just tell somebody a tagline. The idea is to give people just enough information for them to actually use their brain and be like, what? The Subaru of storytelling? As soon as you say that, you're like, wait a minute, are they kind of off-road? Are they dependable? Do they have that thing on the hood? Are they like, you know, like your brain just starts going through all these possible equations. So it doesn't have to be spot on. It's just enough to get them to be like, huh. So, okay. I have a general idea. Please tell me what that means, right? That's the goal.
Right.
Let's see. How about the Marriott of marketing?
The Marriott of marketing. That's fantastic. I love it. That would be great. What does that mean? And then
what does that mean? And actually, okay, here's real quick. When I asked you if you were a type of hotel, why did you choose Marriott?
Because it's solid, middle of the road. You know, it's not like Motel 8. It's not the Hilton. It's kind of like it's not expensive, not cheap, but it delivers a lot of value.
So does that describe the type of business that you operate?
I deliver a lot of value. Yeah, I would say that.
Right?
Sure.
So like for a great price, you get a great room, you get great, reliable, dependable, like all that stuff. So you're brand haloing off of all that stuff. So you could be the Marriott of storytelling.
Marriott of storytelling. Yeah, I guess I am the Marriott of storytelling. Never thought of it that way, but makes sense.
And what's even funnier is that when we initially connected via email, I noticed that you had storytelling in your bio, and so I said, "Do you know about Park Howell?" And you replied, "You're like, I love Park Howell. In fact, I listen to his podcast. He's a great storyteller, and I want to be the Park Howell of Canada." That's what you said, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that is! I know exactly. Like, I know what you." Yes, because I know Park. I've been on his podcast. I've helped illustrate a book that he's got. So it's like, bam. So as this exercise plays out, you can come up with, you know, tons and tons of options. No one is better than the other. Actually, some are better than the other. But you don't just have to choose one. And you can come up with it on the cuff. And if you're talking to somebody who's a car guy, tell them you're the Subaru of storytelling. If you talk to somebody when you're in a Marriott, you're like, oh, this is kind of funny. And you look around, you're like, think of what I do as I'm kind of like the Marriott of marketing. So there's this like flow. But if you think about that, Marriott of marketing, those three words, really just two words that are combined together, that essentially is the heart of any of those one sentences. And it's at the core of those three sentences. And so it's a way to basically take all of what you do and smash it into a metaphor or analogy that speaks volumes in the mind of the person who's listening to you. What do you think about that?
Right. I think it's brilliant, because I think that, you know, we have a hard time getting people to pay attention. And so if you can do it in three words, then, and you can spark people's imagination, then it opens up a whole world of possibilities.
Awesome. Well, hey, I'm glad that you saw this as a fun game show to sort of tease out. Do you see how, as a leader, working through this process would help you empower your employees to become better at communicating what the company does?
Oh, for sure. I think that's part of the big challenge these days, is that people have different variations of the truth. We're all telling different types of stories, and having a consistent story that resonates, I think, makes a lot of sense. Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, this has been tons of fun. Like, I've literally had fun, and I've learned a lot too. Like, this, you've helped me to realize that not only do people not care about what you do, they really care about the problem that you solve. And I like now to maybe take it one step further, that the problem that you're solving means results. It means deliverables. So I can probably get people to admit that people only care about deliverables easier than I can getting them to admit that nobody cares what they do. So I might soft pitch it and say, do you agree that people only care about the deliverables? Yes. Okay. Now, can we infer that people therefore only care about the problems that you solve? Yes. Okay. So can we agree that nobody cares what you do? Like, you help me. So I'm always learning as well. It's been fun to sort of tease all this stuff out.
Yeah, it's been an educational process for me as well.
Awesome. Well, hey, I look forward to staying connected with you. If anybody wants to find you, or if they have the problem that you solve and they resonate as part of your target market, where do they go? How do they find you?
So they can go to my website, which is markevans.ca. Pretty simple.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. If you've got the problem that your business is suffocating because you just don't have a system set in place, then maybe you can consider a solution that includes storytelling to tap into what your customers care about the most, and that is the problems that you solve for them. Now, this particular concept works with Mark at the lead, especially if you're in Canada, you're a B2B tech company, and you have systems that are broken, and you want to scale. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another very exciting 313, and I'm just selfishly saying that because I had a lot of fun. Mark? Any final words?
This is an illuminating. That's the one word I guess I could use, because as a marketer, you know, you think you're on top of things, and when someone shows you a different way, it's very exciting, and I'm really interested in applying it to my own business.
Awesome. Blossom. All right, everybody. We are now going to listen to some random music I pulled off the wall. Go check out Mark. We'll see you online. And remember, less is more. Bye, Mark. We'll see you, buddy.
Wake up. Thanks, Ryan. Wake up. Hold your life. You're out to chill. Out to kill. Warzone. Warzone. It's Warzone. Guys stealing zillions. Gets away.
while we knock each other to make our day. Wake up, hold your life, wake up!